Welcome to the Massillon School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Board of Education Meeting for December 20th, 2016. Call to order. Our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Massillon and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Would you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fiore. Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Loffredo.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale. Mr. Warren.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement, Massillon Schools District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda. It is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented by the Board of Education to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. If you're following along on the agenda, we're now going to go from number 6 to number 3, which was omitted. And Ms. Coates, could you please administer the oath of allegiance to Mrs. McGarry?
Yes. Can you please stand?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Would you raise your right hand and repeat after me? Thank you. I please state your name.
I am McGarry.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear the true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and to this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I please state your name.
I am McGarry.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Furthermore, I affirm and declare that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS 19:4-1.
Furthermore, I affirm and declare that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS 19:4-1.
Nor disqualified as a voter due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1. So help me God.
Nor disqualified as a voter due to a conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1. So help me God.
Congratulations. And welcome.
Thank you. Since we're not following the agenda, next I'd like to read a letter that was sent to Dr. Cajun. Dear Frank, please accept this correspondence as confirmation that I have resigned from my position as a member of the Massillon Board of Education, effective December 12, 2016. It was my pleasure to serve on the board and work to ensure that our school district continues to maintain its high standards of excellence in delivering the highest quality education to the students in our district. During my tenure with the board, I was always very impressed with the professionalism and dedication of both the administration and its teachers. It is my hope that the board continues with its collaborative approach to and commitment in resolving the many challenges faced by this district. As you are aware, I'm resigning from my position with the board because I have accepted a position as Deputy Attorney General with the Office of the Attorney General for the State of New Jersey. Acceptance of the position of Deputy Attorney General precludes me from holding elected office. I wish you, your office, the board, and the staff, and the teachers in the district all the best in your personal and professional endeavors. Season's greetings and best wishes for a happy, healthy, and fulfilling new year. Very truly yours, Martin J. Burns. So we will be appointing someone in the next 30 days to fill Mr. Burns' seat, but we wanted to thank him for his years of service. He was a pleasure to work with, and I think he will be missed, but we wish him well in his new endeavor. And now we are at number 7. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined Committee of the Whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of November 15th, 2016. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Ms. Pisone, second. Mr. Serino, any questions on the minutes? Sandy.
Mrs. Pisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
I'll abstain.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carries.
Just let the record reflect that Ms. De Palma has arrived.
Thank you. Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Thank you. We are now to our student board representative report. We will start with the ladies this evening, and we have Cameron Carton. Would you like to give your report first?
Yes. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Cameron Carton, and I was chosen by Dr. Cajun to be the December chairman for the Student Leadership Advisory Council. Dr. Cajun started this program to bring new ideas for Manasquan High School. We are fortunate to be part of a high school that has a strong sense of community and belonging. Manasquan is a school where you are able to express yourself, try new things, and achieve new goals. In our last meeting on December 6th, the committee and I talked about upcoming events and new things to add to the existing school programs. The student council suggested that we add a new Valentine's dance or a winter dance just for the seniors and juniors, similar to the sophomore semi. In addition to the winter theme, we would like to make it a Sadie Hawkins style dance where the girls ask the boys. The dance would be a fundraiser for the Senior Junior Student Council. We sent out a survey last week and are currently collecting the students' votes for the dance. A major goal we would like to achieve is to get more students involved in Homecoming Week and Spirit Week, which include activities like decorating the hallway, the gym, and the parade floats. One idea was the most spirited student of the month would win either big cookies or a game pass for the football games, where the student could get into any football game for free. These incentives will hopefully encourage more students to get involved in the pep rally. Another possible way for more students to get involved is having the winning homecoming decoration class get a pizza, bagel, or ice cream party, and the other grades will have to pay for it. Therefore, more students will get involved and therefore will be purpose besides bragging rights. Thank you for your time and opportunity to present new ideas for the student body.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
May I say something?
Of course you may.
Thank you. This whole concept germinated this summer with a discussion I had with the building principal, Mr. Coppola. Students have such a profound impact here at Manasquan that we felt that it was imperative that we got them actively engaged within the school culture itself. Not that they're not already there, because they are. And we have such a committed group of students that they're coming up with great ideas, and I'm sure you heard some of them tonight, and you even mentioned the survey that we're doing. Again, reaching out, because this community of learners is about the students. And all my administrators are profoundly focused, as is the staff is, on those students. So again, you made us proud, and thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grogan?
Okay. This month, the Key Club will be involved in the Manasquan Elks Breakfast, the Manasquan Elks Christmas Party, homework helpers for the ELL students, which is on Wednesdays, and then tutoring homework helpers on Thursdays, as well as the Brielle Elementary School Boys Basketball Scoreboard, and the concession stands for both the boys and girls basketball games here at Manasquan.
Thank you. Mr. Driscoll.
The end of last month, student council ran their annual homecoming week, starting from November 18th to November 24th. On Friday the 18th, the Yearbook Club hosted the annual homecoming dance for the whole school. On Sunday the 20th, Student Council hosted the annual Powder Puff game between the junior and senior girls. Each school day at homecoming week, Student Council selected themes for each day. Monday was Squad Pride Apparel, Tuesday was formal apparel, and Wednesday was the class color. On Tuesday night of homecoming week, each class was assigned a hallway and a gym to decorate to compete against each other. Wednesday afternoon was the school pep rally, where each class competed with each other in athletic events. Wednesday night was the annual Thanksgiving and homecoming in parade, in which each class decorated a float. Thanksgiving Day was the annual Manasquan versus Wall football game. Student Council volunteered at the two snack shacks and helped open the new snack shack. All of these events turned out to be great successes, and we were very happy that a lot of the students were very enthusiastic about homecoming week. Student Council is going to start preparing for more future events after Christmas break.
Thank you, Mr. Trisco.
Thank you very much.
Do we have a motion to accept the student board representative reports? Mr. Catani, second. Ms. Pisone, any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
That brings us to our presentations, and I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Awesome. Shall we go to the podium?
We shall.
Tonight's first presentation, we will focus on the Manasquan Elementary School girls' soccer team. And before we do, I would like to welcome everyone tonight and ask them, at the conclusion of all our presentations this evening, we're going to share a cake in honor of the girls' soccer team. I ask you all to partake because I want no cake left over. And we'll do that at the conclusion of all our presentations tonight. Okay? And you answered me. That's the first step in the right direction. Thank you for that. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School Girls Soccer Team 2016 MCAL Monmouth County Athletic League Tournament Champions. And without further ado, Coach Lusnello, come on up. And Coach, if you would share some of the highlights for us.
Sure.
Team. Looks great, though.
That's great. Coach.
Nice.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you to the board for having us, Dr. Cajun, as well. And before I get started with my team, I wanted to just congratulate all the other honorees tonight, the teachers of the year, of the month, and the students of the month. Well earned, and congratulations to them. As far as our team, we had a great year. We went 8-2-2. We were the MCAL champs. We came in second place in the regular season, and in the playoffs, we made the playoffs, and we won our first round game over HW Mounts 2-0, and we moved on to the finals where we defeated Belmar 4-1 in an amazing game. We came out and pretty much dominated the game, and it was a great day, beautiful day, and it was a blast. We had a tough year. I mean, as far as we had sickness, we had injuries, but I guess everybody goes through that. We overcame it. We kind of rallied at the end of the year. The girls really came together at the right time. I had a great mix of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. A nice breakdown between each of the grade levels. And all the girls got a lot of time this year, which I was pretty happy to be able to get everybody a chance on the field, because it's only going to make us better in the future. Team leadership this year was amazing from our team captains, Kate Capodanno, Peyton Rideholm, and Mackenzie Raymer. They were my three assistant coaches, and I really thank them for their support and all their help. And special congratulations to Kate Capodanno, as I see her on the elementary school student of the month. So congratulations, a great night for her. Lastly, I was just so proud of the girls. We rose to the occasion when we needed to. At the end of the year, we kind of went through a little rough patch there, but the girls came together and played an amazing game against Belmar. Sorry, Mr. Holman, I see you back there. But thank you so much for having us, and I appreciate everything. Thank you. Thank you.
We have a picture. This picture, when you get your Wally Box, your certificate tonight. But Coach, your picture is one of the ones that are framed out there. Okay,
awesome.
So there's all your pictures not in there.
We'll take one of the shorts, so Coach Russell will give it.
Okay. Well, you can give him the one that's framed tonight. Whoever it is. Thank you. Awesome.
All right.
Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan girls soccer team managers, Catherine Dingler and Grace O'Boy. For a home study, and I thank them. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate from sixth grade, Emma Brown. Emma? Megan Steele. Megan? From seventh grade, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Elizabeth Dayton. Aaron Driscoll. Also from seventh grade, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Ellie Hallman. Dorothy Lafredo. And Grace Price. Seventh and eighth grade, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Charlie Sass. Coach?
I think that's our sisters.
That's a sister's picture? Is Charlie here?
No, she's absent.
Is her sister here? Catherine Staley. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I always will correct you.
Kate Capodanno. Rylan Orlando. We called you on the floor. Rylan, your picture was up there, I promise.
There you go. Congratulations.
Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate from eighth grade, Christina Chumko. Catherine Geiger.
Thank you.
Ally Marr. The Manasquan Board of Education from 8th grade would like to congratulate Isabella Reagan, Mackenzie Ramir, and Peyton Brightholm. Congratulations, Peyton. Girls, congratulations again, and Coach, thank you. Now we have our Students of the Month. I'd like to just go over how we select our Students of the Month each month. Each student that is selected serves as a role model for their peers. They are academically motivated, they demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom, and have a positive school attitude. They're involved in several extracurricular activities, and they perform school and community activities as well. The Manasquan Board of Education this month would like to congratulate as Students of the Month from grade 12 and grade 11, Allison Johnson and Gabrielle Popovich. Board of Education would like to congratulate the Students of the Month from grade 10 and grade 9, Jalen Tyler from grade 10, and Daphne Nesne from grade 9. Manasquan Board of Education, I congratulate our High School Teacher of the Month, Jason Bryan. Jason. Congratulations. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our Elementary School Student of the Month, Kate Capodanno. Kate, congratulations. From our Elementary School, the Board of Education would like to congratulate our Teacher of the Month, Elizabeth Wallen.
Thank you.
We now have our Elks Student of the Month. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our Manasquan Elementary School Elks Student of the Month from grade 7, Louis Morales. Teenager of the Month from the Manasquan High School is Carolyn Carter. Carolyn. Carolyn, I'm very sorry I don't have your picture up there. I feel bad, so if you just turn so everybody can see. As part of our presentations this evening, we now have a presentation that focuses on our gifted and talented program.
Sing cake first.
Would you prefer doing the cake first?
Yes.
I specifically said when I started tonight, and that's very gracious of you, at the end of the presentations we would have cake. So the presentations was plural, that was gifted and talented, plus our auditor. But being so gracious during this holiday season, let's have cake, shall we? Okay. Thank you. Of the Gifted and Talented and Enrichment Program. Thank you.
Yes, of course. I leave my memory came up the other day of the ball soccer.
Okay.
When I texted my daughter, I'm like, oh, sorry. And now we walk into the cable. Well, the issue was that we had someone who was like, he's aged to my brother, and we're rocking. Now we charge the waiters. I'm like,
I know.
As soon as I got hit, he's like, I'm literally can't breathe. I'm like, my back's broken. I'm like, I can't move. He's like, please don't sue me. Please don't sue me.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Have you actually played it? It's painful, isn't it?
Played and worked. This is for everyone. Because he ran because he knew I was here.
Yeah.
What's 12:25? I know. Stand here.
What's up?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, first of all, for your time tonight. Mrs. Krinsky and I greatly appreciate taking some time tonight to share with you an overview of our Gifted and Talented program.
All right, hold on. I'm going to take one with my snatch.
It's all good.
Hold on, told me, Eileen.
We wanted to take a few minutes tonight to share with you some changes that we have made over the past 2 years, actually, to our Gifted and Talented and Enrichment programs. And in order to do that, I need to back up a little bit and share a timeline with you, some history of what we've done over the past 2 years to get where we are today, and to explain how the changes are occurring and continue to occur.
Colleen, can you use a microphone? I can't hear you at all.
Merry Christmas. If you look at the timeline that we prepared for you, the first thing that we wanted to share with you is 2 years ago, during the 2014-15 school year, especially beginning in the spring of 2015, we started to introduce professional development to our staff regarding STEM education. And our goal was to initiate a STEM education program school-wide. And from that, the reason I need to backtrack a little bit is because one of our goals with our STEM program was to not only utilize it for all of our students, to ensure that all of our students have opportunities and STEM experiences from kindergarten through eighth grade, but then to also use STEM education to further advance our Gifted and Talented program and enrichment program, and use STEM experiences to further differentiate instruction for our accelerated students, our highest achieving students. So in the spring of 2015, we did start our professional development. That included sending teachers out to workshops out of district, having presenters come into the school, including we worked with Rutgers University and their STEM education program, and also visiting schools. Because every school interprets STEM a little differently, and they design their programs to meet their school's needs, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. We didn't want to purchase a packaged program. We wanted to see what was out there and model and develop our program to meet the needs of our population of students. Then in the summer of 2015, we did our first revision of our science curriculum, completely revised to include the next generation science standards and STEM initiatives at every grade level. From that, we moved on to the school year last year. We continued professional development with our teachers. We implemented, for the first time, piloted our new science curriculum. And most importantly, we took what we did with the science curriculum and we piloted our first change to our Gifted and Talented program by introducing a grade 8 accelerated STEM program. From that,
Last summer, we continued to make updates after piloting the science curriculum to the program, and we developed a new K-8 technology education curriculum. Now, during the course of this particular school year, we took the next step with our gifted and talented program, and this year we are piloting a grade 7 accelerated STEM program, and we are piloting an accelerated class in each of the grade levels in grades 4, 5, and 6. This summer, we will continue our curriculum work to make revisions to all of our curriculum guides, especially the major subject areas, to specifically note the differentiated activities that were done in the accelerated classes and the STEM programs. We will also be working on the visual and performing arts curriculum, in particular music and art, to move from STEM to STEAM. So to give you an overview, as a result of our STEM initiative, in grades K to 3, we are using STEM. Primary grade teachers are using STEM activities to further differentiate classroom instruction for students that they have identified as needing accelerated instruction. We have a grade 4, 5, and 6 accelerated class at each of those grade levels, and again, our grade 7 and 8 accelerated STEM programs. We also are members of two groups, the Shore Consortium for Gifted and Talented and the South Shore Consortium for G&T. Students in grades 4 through 8 are selected for those particular programs. Each of the programs are developed and have specific criteria for identification. Some of the examples this year, there are space convocations, a visual and performing arts program, a poetry slam, and robotics, I believe, are the programs that are being initiated this year. I also am extremely appreciative of our PTO. They work very closely with me, take recommendations, and do a great deal of research on their own to look for programs that we can offer after school to our students. And the PTO coordinates them and funds the programs. This year we are offering robotics, chess, and in the fine and performing arts we have kids art and we have both rock shop and orchestra. And again, there will be more programs the second half of the school year, and each year the programs vary. And for our enrichment programs, any interested student can participate. Just to review very quickly, for our accelerated programs, our G&T programs in 7 and 8, and the accelerated classes in 4, 5, and 6, we do have very specific criteria to be accepted into the programs. The criteria is based on final grades in the major subject areas and technology ed, their PARC scores in both math and language arts, a STEM placement test that has been designed, their MAP score. MAP is a measurement for academic progress. It is another online assessment in mathematics and language arts. This year we are going to be adding to the criteria with a cognitive abilities test, and then there is also for identified students a required application and essay process. Overall, with our accelerated programs, our goal once again is to provide differentiated instruction for our highest achievers, to provide enhanced opportunities for more critical thinking and problem solving. Once again, with STEM education, being able to move more towards a design process, bringing in an engineering component. And the presentation of all of our curriculum, our grade level curriculum, in an advanced manner with more differentiated instruction. And Mrs. Krensky now is going to speak a little bit more about how we are using the curriculum, how we are differentiating activities using STEM to advance our programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where I'm going to start with this, because we're going to talk about how this is an accelerated program and what the students are doing in their classes. We'll look at some of their activities. But the key words that we keep seeing, and you'll hear me repeat them over and over again, is the critical thinking, problem solving, creativity, and exploration. And that, we're doing that with all our students, and that's where we want to get all the students to. But with this group, this accelerated group, that's the expectation, that's where we're starting. So that's the big difference, because with all of our students, that's where we want them to be. But with this group, they've been identified, and that's where we start. That's the expectation, and we want them to run with it. It's very student-directed. It's less guided. You know, here's a problem. Go with your group. I'm giving you the tools. Figure it out. Think outside the box. How can I solve this problem in many different ways? Rather than let's take it together step by step. Okay. Now, in the high school, because this is where we're, you know, hoping to prepare our kids for our honors classes, for our AP classes, the way we run our programs within the high school is this is our core curriculum. All students, whether they're in an ICR class, a regular class, an advanced class, an AP class, everyone has to master the core. And it's based on the New Jersey Student Learning Standards and the curriculum we put together. How do we then differentiate is we build on that, whether it's different activities, different projects, different problems, different things to design, additional readings. But we feel it's really important that every student has the same core so that, let's say a student decides, I don't want to go to the honors in English, I want to go to the honors in math. So you're going to drop down in English to a regular class. They've read different things than you. They've done different things than you. There's no common language. So we want to get that common language together first. So it's faster because we're working in the same time frame. And then we want, okay, you've got the core, let's run with it. And so that's our thinking, and that's how we've basically designed our accelerated G&T and STEM programs. Okay, you've got the core, you know it, let's go, and let's take it to the next level. Okay, so let's look at some of the differences of what you would see in the accelerated class. And you're going to see those words, creativity, design, hypothesis. So in language arts, if we were talking about characterization, the students would have to, and this really comes from our standards, identify the characters and the traits, do a compare and contrast, and have discussions. The accelerated class would say, okay, you've got that. Now you're a critic. Let's examine in several different works the same kind of thing. So we're taking it to a different level. If you look, choose more difficult word problems from a menu. We're giving them more choice. And then they have to turn around and teach it. And they say that the way to demonstrate that you really know something is if you can teach it to somebody else. So it's taking everything to the next level. The social studies, this was last year in collaboration with the language arts. The students read an additional book, and then they went and they created a play took place in a courtroom. They did a trial. They went down to the municipal court there. Judge Apostolou came in and presided. Parents were in the jury for them. And the kids really had to then think of all the possibilities because they didn't have a choice if they were defending or prosecuting. So that was random. So they had to be able to think about both sides of the issue. In math, you can see seventh grade math where they might be taking dimensions of their own bedrooms and converting that to a scale. Then it's like, okay, now pull from lots of different content areas and design your dream house. So again, it's lots of different possibilities. In the science, seventh grade, better keyboard. Again, taking the same kinds of skills and content and taking it to the next level. And really doing it more on their own rather than being led through it step by step. Okay, one more. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you can read through some of these and see the different things that they're doing in math. Language arts, reading an additional book. Eighth grade social studies. Okay, the water balloon battle, which is also done at the high school, and they collaborate with the elementary school students to do this. Then, you know, our accelerated classes then have to examine all the different ways that we can send off that water balloon. So what we're doing with the curriculum, and Colleen talked a little bit about it, is that core starts out the same, and now as these programs have all been piloted, what works, what doesn't work, what interests the students, what really gets them to think creatively and be able to use skills from lots of different content areas. Okay, this works. This summer we're going to sit down and make sure that it's all on paper, and we have some of them done. And, you know, with eighth grade being the newest addition, that will get into our curriculum also. It's really exciting, and now we're going to show you some of the things they're doing.
One thing if I could add also is, I forgot to mention before, is I really have to compliment my staff because they are extremely dedicated. They have worked so hard over the past 2 years on STEM and all of our accelerated programs and curriculum writing and designing more differentiated instruction with the STEM activities. And I think we have been very successful because of the communication and the articulation. My teachers meet on a weekly basis in their PLC meetings. They have grade level and department meetings weekly in the middle grades. They have monthly vertical articulation meetings where they have an opportunity to meet with teachers, their colleagues at the grade level above and below their grade level to work on transitioning and the continuity between the grade level. And I also have some extremely dedicated teachers who volunteer their time to serve on both my gifted and talented committee and my STEM committee, who are regularly meeting to review the program since we're piloting them, and to closely track the progress of our students in the programs for the first time.
Barbara, can we get that stuff up online?
Sure.
The curriculum and all the other stuff that you talked about and those videos. I think the overview that you presented is gives a lot more clarity to what the programs offer. The handout that we got as parents was just very general, and when you call and follow up, you just get the word accelerated over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of parents ask for clarification, and I think that articulates much better than what has been.
Absolutely.
I think the PowerPoint, I think curriculum should be up online. Is there any reason all our curriculums can't be online?
I'll talk with Dr. Cajun about that.
Yeah, we've discussed it before.
A site for the teachers, we can talk about that. I do want to put it up.
Sure.
Online. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And now, as we continue our presentations this evening, I believe we have our auditor who's going to present this evening. And thank you very much for your patience.
Do you also have a slide?
Yeah.
Huh? Does he have a video?
I think he might.
No, no video.
No. Oh.
Good evening. I just want to be brief tonight, but I'm very pleased to come before the board tonight and let you know that the results of our board examination.
I'm remiss.
That's okay.
You don't have to hold that button.
I'm going to hold the button. I'm going to hit stop, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, you've done enough. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, so as I was saying, the results of our audit examination were excellent. The district is in full compliance with all regulatory requirements that we tested and examined. And we spent a lot of time performing the audit. And you know, when you get results like that, it's great to come and present that to the board. Mrs. Coates and her staff, they're very dedicated to the work, but more importantly, they're doing it at an outstanding level. So I'm very pleased to come and report that to the board. Our financial position is certainly reasonable, given the guidelines that we're required to work under. I know everyone has their reports, and if you haven't had a chance to look at them and you have questions down the road, I'd be certainly happy to address those. So I wasn't going to go over anything specific in the report tonight, unless anyone would like me to, or unless you'd like me to take any questions in general, I'd be happy to do that.
Any questions at all? I would like to take this opportunity to thank you, because when you do the audit, there's never an inconvenience to me or my staff, and I truly appreciate that.
We try very hard to bring in the right amount of people and get it done in an efficient manner and not have to, you know, we know it's a burden on the staff when we come in to hear or any other district, so we try to make that. So I appreciate you.
No, you do a great job with that, and I sincerely appreciate that.
Thank you. And we have good communication with Lynn and her staff throughout the year. And the audit, even though we come in July, it's a process and it takes a lot of effort on everyone's part. And we appreciate all the help that we get from the district.
I just want to compliment Lynn and her staff on no audit recommendations this year. Dealing with a budget is time-consuming, and you are extremely efficient with that, Lynn. I truly appreciate that. And thank you for not allowing me to spend money and following all the laws and rules that the state holds us to. Appreciate it. Good?
Good.
Great. Lynn, anything?
I would just like to mention the business office staff and Dr. Cajun. Thank you for acknowledging us, but I just would like everyone to know that it truly is a team effort. I was going to report out under the COW section. I'd like to thank the entire administrative team, their assistants, superintendent's office, the treasurer, the high school funds, the advisors. Everyone really has a role in making sure the district follows the compliance issues that we need to follow. So without everyone's full cooperation, we would not have these outstanding audits. So thank you very much to everybody. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sure. Everybody
thank
have a great Christmas.
Thank
happy
you.
Holidays.
You
and
too.
Have a great New Year. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Good night.
That brings us to number 10, our discussion items. And I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun for education, curriculum, and technology.
Thank you. I'd like to start this evening by reading a letter that we received from the executive director, Jerry Daugherty, of Oakwood School. To Margaret Pollock. Dear Margaret, it is with great pleasure I write this letter regarding one of our CST members, Ms. Pam Koss. During a recent reevaluation meeting, Ms. Koss handled a very delicate case with compassion, dedication, and professionalism. Even when the parents struggled to be reasonable, Mrs. Koss remained calm, focused, and handled herself in an exemplary manner, representing your district extremely well. She arrived at the meeting prepared with various options to accommodate the student. The things I like most about Mrs. Koss is that she's open to suggestions, is a team player, and makes sure that everyone is prepared. It is always a pleasure to work with Mrs. Koss. She advocates for her students and gives them the opportunity to work to their full potential. As a director, it is good to know that quality people surround us. Because of our unique population, it sometimes takes a village to save some of our students. Sincerely, Jerry Dougherty. I thought it was applicable during this holiday season, especially to start off on a very positive note, and I compliment her for this. And Margaret, thank you very much for providing me with that. Thank you. Appreciate it. This will go in her file. Having said that, this week we put in an application for the student and exchange visitor program, and I sent information out to everyone regarding SEVIS, the student and exchange visitor program. Are there any questions the board has in regards to this program? It was basically a total of $2,500 eventually for the application process to allow us to get student exchange visitors to attend Manasquan High School. There's an application process that they have to go through. First of all, the exchange program itself has to choose them, and then we have to admit them, and they have to also choose to come to Manasquan. And then from the agency, we'll receive anywhere from $26,000 to $30,000 for tuition for the year. But again, it's up to us to accept the students into Manasquan if they choose to go to Manasquan. As one of the, there's 593 schools throughout the country that they could choose. Any questions about that? I did send you information about that. They're going to do a visit, and then they'll let us know if we're accepted into the program.
But are there any schools locally that are doing it?
Yes. Christian Brothers Academy does it as we speak. Monsignor Donovan does it as we speak. I believe St. Rose is looking into it. And now there are several other schools. The clerical schools can take these students for 4 years, where we're limited to a year. But there is legislation currently pending to allow public institutions to take those students for a four-year period. But again, we have to accept them, so it's up to us if we have the seats and if we want to accept them. With that, we also had the Star Lab this week, which I was very excited about. Briseis McHugh went to a workshop, and she actually brought back the concept of having a Star Lab and met with the science supervisor and our technology director, and we were able to afford her the opportunity to have it for the week, and this was the week it was open. She extended the formal invitation to all the sending districts, and some did partake in the lab today. And the nice thing about the Star Lab is the fact that you can program the stars and the constellations for different purposes, be it English or social studies or just science itself, to take a look at the constellations. So we are utilizing that now. Jesse, if you don't mind, is this the first time that we've done this here? Okay. And it is something that I would like to see us do in the future, and possibly if it is, several of our curriculum get actively engaged with it, I would see eventually like to purchase that so we have it. And the nice thing about it, they set it up in the gym, and then they break it down at the end of the day, and they can set it up again. So it would be a nice thing for us to have, and based on our curriculum, especially since we're getting involved in STEM, and I did see STEAM on there. It's nice to involve the arts, and I appreciate that. So it's something that we are using this week. It was the only week we could get it, that's why it's this week. And this brings me to a discussion, or maybe not, regarding our therapy dog. I did send out some information regarding the therapy dog this week and a couple videos. And it's a focus on using either a service dog or a therapy dog for our students. And it's focused possibly on both sides of the street. And we reached out to the PTO and the Manasquan Elementary School Education Foundation, who agreed to give us the $250 to use each of them as a down payment on a dog. It's gotta be $500 down if tonight you approve it. And I spoke to the endowment as well as the PTO again. It's a total cost of $3,000. It's a process. Once that happens, the dog is 8 weeks old, and it's got to be assigned to a person or several people, and they actually go through the training with the dog, so they get their certificate for either service or therapy, so it could then be utilized within the educational environment. So it's not just something where you pay $3,000 and you bring a dog here. No, there's a large training process that goes on, according to if you just want to do service or service and or therapy, and that dog has to be associated with an individual. So what I'm looking for tonight is approval to go forward with our investigation of the therapy, their service dog. We already have approved a policy for this, if you recall, about 4 meetings ago. And I'm looking to get the cost of this through donations.
And that's through the, not the endowment, but the Education Foundation, correct?
The Education Foundation has committed $250, and the PTO has committed, in the elementary school, $250 for the initial $500. And then there's another cost of, when you pick the dog up, $2,500.
Can you explain a little bit of difference between service and therapy? I thought service therapy was just dogs were to be with one person for their injury, different than a service dog, a therapy dog.
Yes. Service animals are animals that have been trained to perform tasks that assist people with disabilities. Service animals may also be referred to as assistant animals and assist animals, support animals, and helper animals, as opposed to a therapy dog. With are you paying attention? And a therapy dog is developed for a specific reason, and it could be for a certain malady, it could be for a certain search of a property. So there are specific skills that a therapy dog does get. There is a difference between a service animal and a therapy dog. It's different training.
Can they be one in the, can they do both, or can we only?
That's a great question. I would assume if you went to the training, Barbara's a good person to ask. Could they do both, Barbara?
Isn't what
the service dog needs a lot more training than a therapy dog. Like you'll see dogs in the hospital that visit patients, work with autistic children.
So we're looking to do more therapy.
Yeah, I was
going to
say it's more for a school district. It's more for children who.
Police dogs or service dogs, dogs that.
It's more for like the children who maybe wouldn't feel comfortable reading to an an adult or another child, but would feel comfortable reading to a dog. Yeah. Or have social issues that you know it helps. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we are looking for therapy then, not a service dog.
It's
correct?
It's not for a child who has seizures to identify a seizure. Mm-hmm. It's for. To make it more comfortable in the learning environment for students.
We have the option of either training, and if you prefer the therapy training, I'm fine with that. I'm looking for the emotional piece that the child would get security from having that animal. And when I was speaking to Dr. Riggi up in Rumson, he was telling me about an autistic child that he had that would make eye contact. And they had this child read to the dog every day, and he made eye contact with the dog, and now he's starting to make eye contact with people, so it does help. Mm-hmm. But what I'm looking for tonight is the approval to continue our investigation and to come back to you with the monies we have and let you know where we're going to, what breeder, and come back to you with a plan of action.
And can we get with that plan of action, like an overview of how many students that we feel that it could affect in general?
Sure.
Like, so that it's not like for, I think, what Donna's thinking is it for one child or is it for a group of children?
And it's got to be an application process, and Margaret brought that concept to me today, and I thought it was a good one for the person who's going to be the handler of the dog. And I think that I have to sit down with my administrative team and talk about exactly how we're going to utilize it on both sides of the street.
Because if it was just for one child, that child could probably get funding outside of the school district to have that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for a group, that's where it becomes, this dog will remain for the life of their ability to be in the school district would be for different students as they
come
and go.
So he's working for the district, not for an individual.
Yes, correct. It does come a time when they retire.
Right.
You do retire them, but they have a
right, not till he's 16.
I'm thinking of the type of dog. It's a golden doodle, a labradoodle.
They have to be hyperallergenic.
They are hyperallergenic, yes. Great. Awesome. Also, regarding our policy agenda items this evening, I sent you the revision on the substance abuse policy where we actually defined immediate, so the parents know it's a two-hour window that they have to, if a child is under suspicion, that they have to get tested within a two-hour time period. Because in our policy, the concept of immediate was not defined. So, and if they're not within a two-hour period of getting that test, then they could be considered, not shall be considered, but could be considered under the influence and negative or positive.
Positive.
Thanks. Any questions about that at all? Thank you. Word to the audit. Rick, anything?
Just the comments that I made earlier, I'd just like to add one other thing, which can be under finance and also building and grounds. On the agenda on page 5, item number 28, I just would like to thank the Manasquan High School Endowment for their partnership with the Board of Education. As you can see in the motion in number 28, the LED light fixtures that will be installed, that work will be done over the winter break. That's a project with a value of about $12,500. And because we've been able to partner with them, the board's net cost will be $5,844. So I would just like to thank them. Also, Cooper Electric stepped forward and they offered to submit the EPU incentive rebate grant for us, which last time around when we installed the elementary school lighting, that grant is extremely cumbersome, especially for folks like myself who don't do it every day. So I really appreciate their help. We provided them the information that they asked for. Within 5 business days, they had that incentive application put in, and we had an approval letter in less than 4 weeks, which was an outstanding turnaround. So we look forward to having new lighting in the gymnasium in the high school.
I just want to say, I was sitting next to somebody at the scrimmage last week, a college coach, and they were commenting on how dark the gym was. And I said that there's a plan, you know, over Christmas to install the new lights. But if you don't, if you're there all the time, you don't notice it as much as if you travel around other gyms. It really, it's really not that bright.
It's not.
It really isn't.
It was dark at the wrestling match, too.
Yeah.
And it's hot, too.
Well, that.
Is that if a building's grounds, or you have more?
That's
it. And I go right to my superintendent's room.
I don't see why not. That's next on the list. Number 11, superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you. The enrollment, as of we speak, is 1,576. We have at the high school 945 students, at the elementary school 631. Regarding our comparison of attendance, our fire drill reports, and bus evacuations. As of November 16th, our attendance percentage was 94.87 at the high school, with the average daily enrollment 927, and the average daily attendance 880. At the elementary school, as of November 2016, 97% in attendance, 634 average daily enrollment, and 608 the average daily attendance. Regarding our fire drills for the month, at the high school on November 8th at 1:25 p.m., we had a fire drill which lasted 7 minutes. On November 28th at 9:30 a.m., for 25 minutes, we had an alternate location drill. So they fulfilled state requirements for November. At the elementary school on November 14th at 1:10 p.m., we had a fire drill that lasted 4 minutes. November 29th at 10:10 a.m. for 10 minutes, we had a lockdown of the exterior threat drill. So they also fulfilled state requirements. On December 9th, from 7 to 7:30 a.m. at the Manasquan High School at the front driveway for route number 6518, 6519, 6520, 21, 6515, 6517, and 6516, we had a bus evacuation drill, and our assistant principals, Reed and Bramley, were there with our security officer, Mr. Clayton, and the students did it well. So we did, again, our state statute was met regarding our safety and security for the building. regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying. At the elementary school, we had one harassment, intimidation, and bullying investigation, which ended up to be negative. And the discipline and remediation was counseling with the school counselor. At the high school, we had three. All were confirmed on 11/28, 11/30, and 11/30. The students involved received counseling as well as in-school suspension and detentions. That is my superintendent's report. Any questions?
We have a motion to accept Dr. Cajun's report. Mr. Warren, seconded by Mr. Lufredo. Any questions for Dr. Cajun? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lufredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to our first public forum. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anybody from the vast public like to be heard? Seeing no one, that brings us to the Manasquan general items. And would anybody need anything separated out? Items 13 through 26. 13 through 26. Does anybody need anything separated? Do we have a motion for items 13 through 26? Mrs. DePalma, second. Mr. Lufredo, any questions on any of these items? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lufredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to the Manasquan Senate District items number 27. Through number 44. Does anybody need anything separated out? 27 through 44.
Can I just ask one question?
Of course. After we get the motion. Anybody need anything separated out? Do we have a motion? 27 through 44.
Yep.
Mr. Serino, seconded by Mrs. DePalma. Any questions?
Number 34, which is approval for Franklin Lakes School District to provide home instruction for a student. We have a student from Franklin Lakes. Is that a...
We have, you go to the, I think it's the lit, the placement of students on home instruction. That particular student is out between December 5th and June 20th on a medical home instruction. And that facility is close to where the student currently is.
So, okay. So is that student just there for the break?
It's a medical.
Or is it? It's really
bedside. It's really bedside instruction.
Oh, okay. That particular district is very close. So
right.
Through the child study team office, I believe they reached out and
it
makes sense.
So that's
cost.
Yes.
So much more cost to engage that district to do the
and much more cost effective than sending our teachers.
It's very close. Yes.
And then for. Question for 29. We just went over that we're approving $1,000 or $500 for them to explore, but then on here we're approving $3,000 to purchase. So are we exploring or are we purchasing? Are we doing both at one time?
I don't think we're purchasing. I'm trying to find the money first. If we want to purchase, then I would rather explore first and purchase second.
Okay, so should 29 be put tabled to the next meeting after exploring?
If anybody of you all online.
So you want to hold 29?
I wanted to prove so I can go out and seek funds. That's what I'm looking to do. So when they say approval of the purchase of a therapy dog, it means the board's saying yes to this.
So should we verb?
It doesn't mean that the $3,000 is coming from the budget, necessarily.
That's why I have this on there. Because it's tough for me to go to the endowment and say, I'd like to get a therapy dog, and if you haven't approved the purchase.
It's not the endowment, it's the foundation. We need to start, I make a recommendation, we need to start to, because I've heard that a couple times, that they're getting slightly offended, that it's interchangeable, and it's not, so we just really.
But we went to them first, we did have it.
Okay.
So that's why that's there.
Will we purchase, will we put the money in if we can't get the money?
Yes.
Okay.
So is everyone comfortable with that? The most we would be spending is the $3,000, if all this exploring doesn't net any.
One more question, though.
Donations.
If we do that, are we, will be responsible for his care, maintenance, vet bills, food, everything? But the handler is not being paid, or are they getting a?
The handler is not being paid, no.
Unless we, somewhere down the road, approve to pay a handler.
There may be a different handler who's in the school, and then compared to the person who's taking care of the dog on a daily basis, right? I mean, ideal is that it's the same person, but.
Ideally.
Ideally, but if there's not a employee who is going to be handling them in the school, is it an employee who?
The person who takes the dog to the classroom should be somebody who's an employee and hopefully a teacher. And the three places that I've explored, one is the director of special services, the other two places are staff members who actually teach, and they both have to be special education teachers. But what we set up doesn't necessarily have to be that, but I'm more comfortable with the teacher in the classroom having that dog, so they're there.
Well, it needs to be a teacher that can go in different.
Be mobile.
Right, like maybe the reading specialist or something like that.
Yeah. Or in-class support teacher.
Do we have anybody interested in volunteering for this, or?
Yeah, we do, but I think there should be an application process. I think we should set up requisites for this, and then I would be very comfortable if the director of special, or the supervisor of special services held those interviews, got those applications, because I see this dog being utilized there more than other places, and then come back to me with a recommendation, and we can move from there.
Any other questions on any of those items? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carrie.
All right. That brings us to old and new business. And I will start. First issue is mandated board member training. Anyone who hasn't completed their training for this calendar year has till the 31st, which is obviously rapidly approaching. If you need assistance with any of these training issues, please see Sandy or Lynn. Anybody have any questions about their requirements for training?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on to the next step. The process, most of us have been through it, but I'll just explain it to people that haven't. For finding a replacement for Mr. Burns is we will advertise. We have to have someone in place within 30 days. For us, I think the January meeting, not the reorg meeting, but the regular January meeting would be a good meeting for us to do that. That gives us plenty of time. Anyone in the public that has an interest in serving just needs to put that in written form and send it to the board office, attention, the board secretary. And that will basically serve as their telling us that they want to do it.
And you put an ad.
We will then go to whomever expresses an interest. We'll then be, if we have multiple people or even if it's just one person, they'll come to the January meeting. We'll interview them. We'll vote that night, and hopefully we'll have the members sitting that night. Now, because Mr. Burns was just elected, does this person that comes on just serve the 1 year, and then we have to put four up next year?
It's the balance of the one, I believe.
It's just the balance. It'll be the calendar year 2017.
Right. So they would serve from the January meeting.
And the election next year would be for 2 years.
Correct. They'd serve from the January meeting. So next year we would have three 3-year seats up and one 2-year seat up. But it's a good opportunity if you know anyone that's shown some interest that would like to try it for a year before they commit to the 3 years. This is a good opportunity. Other people have done that in the past, and it's worked out well. Don, I'm sorry, did you have a question?
Do you put that ad in the paper too, right?
Do we have to?
No, I don't believe we do.
I don't think we need to spend the money to put the ad in the paper. It's really expensive.
Only if your policy requires, and I don't think yours does.
Yeah. We're gonna count on the person from the paper to put that in the article this week, and that way we won't have to pay the other person from the paper to do it.
No, are you gonna send home flyer? Like, how are you gonna get it out there?
Post it on the website, just like every other. If it was a teaching job, it'd be on a website. We wouldn't necessarily reach out to it.
I have a question.
Anybody else?
Old business, I guess. Can we get an update on all the strategic planning stuff that are supposed to get done? In particular, I know it looks like there's been some changes to the high school website, but I don't know how much has been done at the elementary school. From all the people who are supposed to be doing following through.
Would you like a report from each one of the committees?
Well, it's not the committee. I mean, honestly, the committee. I know I'm on a committee, and it's not the committee's responsibility to enforce the strategic planning. I think you know when we went through what the strategic planning goals are, it then goes to those powers that are in the elementary school and the high school to follow through on those directives. And then I think those things, I mean, there should be time frames that people are adhering to, and if not, a reason why it can't be done. Like, it could be our website can't handle it, or, you know, everybody has different. Mine, obviously, was technology, you know, the website, so I'm focusing on that. But, you know, I'm a big believer of it's not what you plan, it's actually following through with the plan that makes it really effective. That.
Or else we wasted our time.
Yes, yes.
So we'll give you an update at the next board meeting, which will be the January board meeting. And then we'll reach out and see to each one of the chair people and see what we're doing.
Okay. And then also, I just wanted to say, I heard really great things of that medical emergency that was in the high school. That not only did the staff do an amazing job, but the students in the classroom, they said they were just so impressed with how everything was handled, that they all stepped up, the teachers, the administrators, and all the students was just mind-blowing on how well it was handled. So
I heard the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's, you know, I know we're big on cake and certificates, but maybe some Wally Bucks for all those kids.
I was very proud of what they did, and I saw Rich was here tonight. Rich Reed stepped up.
He's still here.
Oh, he's hiding behind the computer. Yeah. I'm sorry, but just congratulations. I'm just saying how you stepped up with our medical emergency, as did the nurse, and as did Jesse and Lynn and the students. And it was just something where you really don't know if your practice is working until a crisis situation occurs. And when all the parts fall into place like a symphony, it's really nice to watch. And congratulations to you and all those teachers that stepped up.
If I could comment, I can't actually say credit. It might have been the greatest team effort in a crisis situation that I've ever seen happen. From start to finish, it was about an 8-minute process that happened seamless, flawless. Students, teachers, administrators, everybody involved was right on point, right where they needed.
Even to the point of getting it out, the situation to the community, and I got some very positive comments from parents saying thank you for letting them know what did transpire. So it was handled really well, and everybody did come together. It was nice to see. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything? All right. Brings us to our second public forum. Anybody from the public like to be heard? Bring us to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides Massachusetts Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent of the Massachusetts Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Massachusetts, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of this executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Madison Board of Education, that the board should go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number seven, litigation or contract matter or attorney-client privilege, which is involving a legal matter and pending litigation. And number eight, personnel matters, which tonight involve the hiring, leave of absence, and/or resignation. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Lufredo, all those in favor?
Aye.
Red folder. Motion to reconvene?
Motion.
Second. Mr. Catan, all those in favor?
Aye.
All righty. Do we have a motion for number 48, the Manasquan item, personnel, recommend approval of the elementary school personnel as per document L. Mr. Lufredo, second. Mrs. Muley, any questions on document L? Sandy?
Mrs. Passone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Remarkably, I don't have to abstain, but yes. I think this might be the record.
Sorry.
Yes. No abstain.
Mr. Lufredo.
Cross that out.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Ward.
Yes.
Carrie.
Digger.
Manasquan Senate District items number 49, personnel, recommend approval of the high school personnel as per document 4. Do we have a motion for high school personnel? Mr. Lufredo. Second. Mrs. Passone. Any questions on document 4? Sam.
Mrs. Passone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Lufredo.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carrie.
And do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Ms. Passone, all those in favor?
Aye, aye, aye.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yes.
Have a great holiday.
You guys too. Enjoy.